This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 High FM.
101.9 High FM. This is Soul to Soul on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Tzav. Shabbos HaGodol, a mere 5 days before we get into Chag HaPesach. And this is a warm, warm welcome to all of our radio family. My name is Rabbi Moshe Schnurb. So glad, so privileged to once again be with you to spend some time and learn something before this coming Shabbos, or just about as we're about to go into Shabbos. So I want to talk a bit about Pesach, a bit about the Haggadah, but first I want to speak about something on the Parsha, Parshas Tzav. As usual, of course, our program is brought to you as a Refuah Shleima for many of our cholim, Hillel Eliezer ben Pesa Frida, Aaron Yena ben Avram, David Shmuel ben Deveira, Shimon Alevi ben Chava, and Yeta bas Alexandra, Deveira bas Sora, Zlata bas Masha, Chana Sora bas Avram Ovino Besoich Shor Chole Yisrael. May all those who need a little bit of a divine knip, a little bit of a help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be it in medical matters, be it in financial matters, be it in shalom bayis matters, or chinuch with children. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu send us, especially now, in the Chodesh Nisan, the Chodesh of miracles, in the time where there's so much going on in this world and we don't even know what's happening and why it's happening. Please God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us all the ability to face and go into this coming Yantif with the simcha, with the desire, with Baruch Hashem, all the things we need to be able to have a wonderful, wonderful Yantif. So Parshas Tzav continues to talk about the Karbonos, and we get to talk about Imal Toida Yakrivenu. If a person offers a thanksgiving offering, and Chazal teach that one who has been saved from danger is obligated to bring a korban toida. Unlike most other korbanos, the toida was accompanied by 40 loaves of bread, which had to be eaten within a single day and night. The abundance of food and the compressed sort of time frame virtually required that others be invited to share in the meal. The Torah, in effect, mandated publicity. Some people enjoy the attention they receive when everyone is sort of patting them on the back and wishing them well. Others are more private people who kind of shun the public limelight and view attention-grabbing as sort of a showboating and sort of grandstanding. These people would rather celebrate their good fortune within the smallest group possible. Obviously, the Torah wants the miracle publicized. Every miracle increases Kavod Shemayim, honor of Hashem's name, glory of Hashem, and reminds people that Hashem runs the world. Unquestionably, the korban is meant to show people that Hashem intervenes and only He can save one from danger. Right? And there's an added dimension to the publicity, which is sort of beneficial. Imagine a person who has received a frightening diagnosis similar to the one that a Toida celebration received months earlier. Right? He has not shared the grim news with anyone but his wife. As such, he walks amongst people, going to shul, weddings, etc., carrying a burden that is, in as of itself, destroying the quality of his life. Sort of fear gnaws at him, while depression soon to follow. His future, the way he sees it, appears bleak and uncertain. Suddenly, he's invited to a Suda Saido, right? Marking the release from a similar illness by a friend. The beneficiary recounts the trauma, the treatments, the grim looks on the doctor's faces, the overwhelming dread. Same diagnosis, same prognosis. And then he heard the words, Hashem was with me throughout the journey, from dread to thanksgiving. In that moment, something that had eluded him until now enters the picture. And that is hope. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with much, much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Parshas Tzav. Shabbos HaGadol. A mere sort of 4 or 5 days before we get into the amazing, amazing Chag HaPesach and the opportunities that Chag HaPesach brings to spend time with the family, to impart to our children, to our loved ones, the basic tenets of our faith, of our emunah in our Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's so, so important. We can't even begin to sort of underscore the vitality, the importance, the incredible influence we can have, the incredible sort of amount of hashpah we can pour down to children, to family, on this very, very special night. And the Haggadah does it, of course, in many different ways. One of them, of course, is by introducing us to the Arba Bonim, the 4 sons who sit around the Seder table. And of course, these sacred and exalted days of Pesach, which are so, so quickly coming. Don't tell the women how quickly they're coming. And according to our tremendous, tremendous tradition and the sources we have, every single Jew is capable from departing from his own particular, his own private Egyptian Golus, his only exile at this time. We're not only commemorating what happened to our fathers over 3,000 years ago in Egypt, we too are faced with the same situation and the same opportunity to free and emancipate ourselves from our own private Egypt, from our own private limitations, from our own private situations that are stopping us and impeding us from growing and becoming the kind of people we need to be. Be it a sort of spiritual galus or actually a material one. This idea is conveyed by the following words, which we recite in the Pesach Haggadah every single year. And of course, the sources, the Mishnah in Psachim, says, B'chol dor v'dor, in every single generation, Chayiv Adam, a man is obligated, L'rois es atzmoy, to see himself, Ki'ilu hu, Yotza mi'mitzrayim, as if he himself has departed from Egypt. And it's only fitting, therefore, that we sort of examine and try to, for our own lives, illuminate one of the biggest mitzvahs that every single Jew fulfills on this very, very special and holy night of the Seder. And that is, of course, the mitzvah of V'higadeta L'bincha, the commandment to tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt. We call Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, telling over the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. One of the great, great mysteries concerning this mitzvah is that it must be performed specifically in a question and answer format. To begin with, the children must ask the Manishtana the four questions. The father must then respond to each child according to his level of understanding, in keeping with the dictum of Chazal recited in the Haggadah, Kineged Arba Bonim Divrei Torah. The Torah discusses four types of sons. If one's children are unable to ask the questions, then one's wife should ask the questions, and he should respond. If even his wife is unable to ask the questions, then he himself should ask the questions and respond to them as well. As in fact, the Mishnah says, Mazgulai Kosheni, after they pour and dilute the second cup of wine, Vikana ben Shoyal, of if here the child asks his father, and if the son cannot do it, then Aviv Malamdai Manishtana, the father teaches him how to say Manishtana Halayla Zeh. And the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, our rabbis taught us, Chacham, if the son is wise, B'nai Shoyal, then the son can ask questions. If he's not wise, then the wife must ask. And if even she can't do it, then he must ask him himself. Even Shnei Tamid Chachamim, even two Torah scholars, Sheyoyin Din Vilchas HaPesach, who know very well all the laws of Pesach, Shoyalin Zeh LeZeh, they have to ask each other these four questions. And that's the format. No matter what the situation is, that original format, the question and answer format, must be observed. In fact, that is the way the halacha stated in the Shulchan Aruch. In Aruch Chaim, chapter 473, it says, Moiskin Laikos, we pour the second cup, right? And then immediately, so as to sort of stimulate the questions from the children and to arouse their curiosity as to why a second glass of wine is being drunk before the actual meal. Carries on, if the child is not clever enough, the father teaches him. And if there's no child, then the wife asks the husband. If he does not have a wife, he asks himself the questions, right? Even two Torah scholars sitting together shall ask each other these famous questions. Now, certainly, one is required to tell one's children on the night of Pesach about all the miraculous events surrounding the Exodus from Egypt. In fact, the Pasuk says, you must tell your children on that day, saying, you must tell them that day, and you must say, it's because of this that Hashem acted on my behalf when I left Mitzrayim. Notwithstanding, why is it mandatory that the story be told in a question and answer format? To the point that in the absence of anyone else to ask the questions, one must actually ask the questions oneself. What purpose does that actually serve? Additionally, it's sort of worthwhile examining the following passage from the Haggadah. Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu. Baruch Shenasan Toiru Al Am Yisrael. Baruch Baruch Hu. Blessed is the Omnipresent. Blessed is he. Blessed is he who gave the Torah to his people, Yisrael. Blessed is he. The Torah discusses four types of sons. One is wise. One is wicked. One is naive. And one is unable to ask. Next, the author of the Haggadah proceeds to specify the question of each son with the corresponding answer given to each son by the father. We must endeavor to explain why the author of the Haggadah sort of juxtaposed these two seemingly diverse subjects, Baruch Shenasan Torah Am Yisrael, the giving of the Torah, and the discussion concerning the four types of sons. Let's just introduce the incomparable words of the Sfas, who addresses this topic of the four sons and describing them, and he teaches us that every person is composed of elements from each of the four sons, each with his own trials and tribulations, doubts and struggles with the Yetzirah. And here are actually his actual words. And we're going to come back and share that together after the break. This is 101.9 Chai FM, the program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with so much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Soul to Soul, back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Tzav, Shabbos HaGadol, just days before, and we're talking about the Seder and the Haggadah, and we just began speaking about the four sons, and we mentioned that the Sfas Emes says that in talking about the four sons, and he teaches us that every person is composed of elements from each of the four sons, each with his own tests and his own tribulations, his own doubts, his own struggles with the Yetzirah. And these are his actual words. Sfas Emes actually points out that the four sons correspond to these four expressions of redemption mentioned in the Torah and Parshat Va'era. Votzeti, v'yitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. I will take you out. I shall rescue you. I shall redeem. I shall take you as a nation. Which in turn corresponds to the four exiles which Yisrael were destined to have to endure. Every Jew's intellect is bothered by these questions and is actually the means by which the evil inclination kind of tempts one to question our other mitzvahs. Therefore, it's absolutely imperative to have an answer prepared. One must believe that following HaKadosh Baruch Hu and doing His will is more meaningful and gratifying than actually understanding the meaning of the mitzvah. And that's the message expressed by the answer to the wise son. We tell him all the laws, and we say to him, "Ein maftirin achar haPesach afikoman. You can't eat anything after the afikoman on Seder night." Every person, be he a chacham or a rasha chas v'shalom, or a tam, or a she'en yedei lishol, must withstand his own trials and tribulations. This is kind of learned out from the Pasuk way back at the beginning of Bereshit, where it says, "Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et Adam afar min Adama." God created man out of dust from the earth. And the Gemara clarifies this Pasuk as follows, Gemara in Brachot on page 61. What does it mean that God created the man, to create him with two letter yud? The word vayitzer has a double letter yud, spelled with two yuds, indicating that every human being was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with two yetzer. One is positive and one is evil. We see then that each of the four sons has his own doubts and his own confusions that prevent him from serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the utmost of his abilities. Therefore, even the wise son asks, what are all the testimonies and the statutes and the laws which Hashem, our God, has commanded you? This question arises because even the Chacham has a Yetzirah which tries to persuade him to seek answers and reasons for statutes which don't actually exist. And this game, this ploy by the Yetzirah is designed to frustrate the Chacham and diminish his enthusiasm with which he serves Hashem. And that's why the response to the wise son is, Ein maftirin achara Pesach afikom. It's forbidden to eat anything after the Korban Pesach. In other words, one is prohibited to eat anything else after the Korban Pesach so that its taste alone remains in one's mouth. Similarly, one should fulfill the mitzvot of the Torah solely because it is the will and command of Hashem. This single reason should be sweeter and more gratifying than any other reason one might possibly deduce. Furthermore, one should realize beyond a shadow of any doubt that it is prohibited to search beyond sort of reasonable limits for the purpose of mitzvahs. For it is very detrimental, and it can actually lead one to chas v'shalom, to stray away. In a similar fashion, the Sfasemis explains how every person possesses elements of each of the other sons as well. And let's sort of like rise to the occasion and try to find the connection between what the Sfasemis is incredible insight that the Agada is discussing the elements of the four sons contained within, yes, the Father himself. And the simple, straightforward interpretation of the passage that the Agada is discussing four real people, four real sons, each with his own distinct and unique character and traits. Clearly, halachic decisions that a father is obligated to tell his sons the story of the Yetzias Mitzrayim on the first night of Pesach, as in fact the author of the Agada says, tell your son on that day, saying, because of this, Hashem did for me. What does it mean because of this? Lo amarti ela bisho shematza umora munochim lefunecha. You shall tell your son on this day. It's because of this that Hashem acted on my behalf when I left Egypt. And this applies only when matzah and moror is actually on the table. So let's introduce a very, very important principle concerning the raising and education of our children. If there exists a failure, chas v'shalom, on the part of one's children regarding their observance of Torah and mitzvahs, and this spiritual harm is actually caused to the parents who did not educate them properly, right? Who did not provide them with the proper tools to withstand the demands of their times. It actually says in Parshas Emor, it says, Ubas ish kohen ki sechel is nos. God forbid, if the daughter of a kohen desecrates herself through adultery, esavia him chalelas, she actually desecrates her father. And in his commentary on this pasuk, Rashi cites a Gemara in Sanhedrin, and he says, "Hayar Rabbi Meir Omer." Rabbi Meir used to say, "Ma Talmud Loimar." What does it say? Esavia him chalelas. She desecrates her father, right? That she imayon noyagim by kodesh. That now, if she desecrated her father, that if men were so normally accustomed to treat her father as holy, they may now treat him as mundane. If they treated him with honor, they may now treat him with contempt. They will say, cursed be he who begot her. Cursed be he who raised her. Cursed be he from whose loins she issued. Rav Ashi said, according to whom do we call someone wicked man, the son of a wicked man? Even if he is actually a wicked man, the son of a righteous man. According to whom? According to this Tana. One could be labeled as a Rasha simply because one's children do not live up to your standards. A similar statement is actually found in the Gemara in Sukkah, towards the end on page 56, concerning Miriam, the daughter of one of the members of the watch of Bilga. She renounced her faith, and the entire watch was penalized. The Gemara asks, how can this be? Would we penalize Bilga because of his daughter? And the Gemara answers, Abaya said, yes. As the popular adage goes, the utterances of a child in public express the view of either his father or his mother. Since a child utters what he or she hears from his or her parents, they share in the responsibility for the child's misdeeds. This teaches us such an important principle. All the various types of children that are born into the world, which the author of the Agada categorizes as Chacham, Rasha, Tam, and She'en Yodeh Lishor, are the product and embodiment of the elements of the four sons contained and internalized potentially within the father. For the children are mere reflections of the father's inner thoughts and kind of moral compass. Since one's descendants inherit their positive and negative traits from their parents, from the time of their conception. And number two, all the years that the children grow up under the father's influence, they acquire his methods of dealing with all of life's situations. It is understandable, therefore, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded a father to raise his children according to Torah guidelines. As in fact, the Gemara in Kedushin learns from a pasuk, "V'limadetem oisam espanechem," and you shall teach them to your children. Since the children one begots are merely a product and reflection of the four sons concealed and contained within the Father, their deficiencies and shortcomings are in actuality inherited from their Father. As a consequence, it is his obligation to raise and educate them in the ways of Torah in order to correct the deficiencies he caused in them. Additionally, since a father contains within himself the elements and characteristics of all four types of sons, all of which have a tremendous influence and effect on the actual children he's raising, the advice and solution for this father is obvious. If he endeavors from the outset to correct the characteristics of the four sons contained within his own person, it will be much easier afterwards to correct the shortcomings of the actual children he had, each of whom will also contain those four elements. Thus, we've achieved an important and deeper understanding of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we perform on the night of the Seder. We have learnt in the Mishnah, B'chol Dor V'Dor, every generation you have to see yourself as if you went out of Mitzrayim. By departing from the Egyptian exile on this special night, an Exodus which mentions the four expressions of redemption, corresponding to the four sons which the father embodies, a father possesses the ability to rectify the four types of children he may have produced. This is such an important idea. And therefore, we need to talk about just for a minute. What do we have to do to, in fact, impart the values, teach the kind of things to our children that will give them the clarity of purpose to be able to know how to negotiate, how to deal with, how to sort of wade through the sea of difficulties, the sea of problems that exist in this world. And they are actually contained in those four languages, the so-called the Arba Lishonot Shel Gula, which aren't really expressions. They're really more completely, they're actually the stages of redemption. Four stages of redemption that a person has to go through in order to be able to have control, in order to sort of rest, sort of control away from the Yetzirah and give himself the proper chance of achieving the great things and of becoming. Well, of course, we have all those elements, but by letting the Chacham in us, by letting the intelligent, articulate, motivated, driven personality to come out. So the first of the four expressions is Vohotzeti. Vohotzeti, I will take you out. And the Meshech Chochma explains that means we have to separate ourselves from the filth, from the absolute impurity of the world around us. Just as Mitzrayim was a place full of impurity, full of disgusting behavior, and the Jews were able to exit because they kept themselves apart from them. Yes, they did serve idols, and yes, they were living amongst Egyptians, but on a sexual, on a sort of intermarriage level, there was not a single Jew who got involved in a relationship with a non-Jew, which is pretty amazing. When you talk about the size population there was over the period of time they were there, separate ourselves morally from them. Number two, We need to strive for unity. V'hitzalti means God can save us from enemies as long as those enemies are external. If the enemy is with us, if we're fighting and bickering and sort of at each other's necks, we get mired in the whole situation, and it's very, very difficult for a person to grow and improve himself when he's constantly being dogged down by others who want him to sort of support their side of an argument. Number three, v'ga'alti, God will redeem us. God will redeem us, he says, from slavery. The mentality of a slave is, I'm small, I'm unimportant, I don't come from anywhere, and therefore I prefer my lowly life. We have to emancipate ourselves. We come from greatness. Our fathers, our grandfathers, our avot were the greatest people in the world, and we have their legacy to follow. And finally, v'lakachti, we have a future. God has promised us the most grandiose future for people who observe his will. The reward in this world, the reward in the next world, and please God, the ability to see God's presence in the Beit HaMikdash. This is what we have to impart. This is what we have to model in ourselves, and then please God, impart it. Let's make this Seder night the most memorable one ever. We work hard to give over these important, incredible values to our children so that they too can follow us and emulate primarily the Ben Chacham, the person motivated with a growth sort of development who wants to do nothing else but serve and have a relationship with Hashem. This is 101.9 Chai FM, the program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with much, much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM, this is Soul to Soul on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Tzav, Shabbos HaGodol, a mere few days before the beginning of the amazing Hallelujah L'Chag of Pesach, and we're going to be touching briefly just on some of the laws, particularly around searching for and getting rid of chametz. But before that, as we always do at this time, just to give you an important rundown of the times you need for this coming Shabbos. So this afternoon, barely half an hour from now, the earliest time for lighting your Shabbos candles will be at 4:57. 4:57 is the earliest time for us to light our candles. And it's great. You know, there's the last Shabbos before Pesach. Let's make it a perfect Shabbos. Let's try to grab a little bit extra time. Yes, I know we're in the crazy frenzy of Erev Pesach and the cleaning and the running around, and Shabbos in the middle somehow gets in the way almost. But let's, whether we're doing it a Pesach Shabbos, or we're doing a Chometz Shabbos, or we're doing half and half, or we're going out, whatever it might be, let's make an effort to start this Shabbos as soon as we can. That will sort of allow us to just forget about everything else. Forget the cleaning, forget the changing over, forget the cooking. Let's just have an amazing and beautiful, beautiful Shabbos. So 4:57 is the earliest time to light your candles. If you can do that, Kol HaKavod, more power to you. If you can't do it then, well, anytime early is great. Obviously, the latest time to light Shabbos candles this week is going to be 5:53. 7 minutes before 6 is the absolute latest time for lighting your candles. Yes, there is the 18 minutes afterwards until sunset. But that is, again, that is for emergency situations, only for people who, if they wouldn't have that time, would possibly end up breaking Shabbos. But as far as we're concerned, 5:53 is the actual deadline. Sunset then is at 6:11, which is obviously the latest time in any situation. And therefore, nightfall, if you want to make sure you're davening Ma'ariv, saying the Shema at night, and won't have to repeat it afterwards. 6:29 is already nightfall, and you can then daven Ma'ariv, say Shema, come home, and have a wonderful, wonderful, relaxing meal with the family again. No worries, no stresses. All of it can wait till afterwards. We'll sit down and have a proper, proper, enjoyable, enjoyable Shabbos. Tomorrow, of course, is Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Tzav. Tzav is not a particularly long parsha. Again, deals with many of the sacrifices, and then talks about the actual sort of build up to the actual inauguration of the Mishkan, which took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And the Haftarah is the special Haftarah for Shabbat HaGadol. This is always the Shabbat before Pesach. Is called Shabbat HaGadol. This year it actually comes out perfectly, because in the year the Jews left Egypt, the Shabbat was the 10th of Nisan, and that was the day they were commanded to take the guards of the Egyptians, take the sheep and take them home with them and keep them and guard them and protect them and look after them until the 14th, when they would check them. That's exactly how it comes out this year. The 10th is on Shabbat, and please God, Erev Pesach will then be 4 days later on Wednesday. So that's beautiful. So we have a special Haftarah for that day. Absolutely the beautiful Haftarah that, of course, ends with Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem et Eliyahu HaNavi, which, of course, we look so forward to the coming of Mashiach. And please God, this is the time of year where, according to many opinions, the redemption could come and could happen. And we expectantly wait for that. After that, it's a normal Shabbos. There is a custom in many communities at Mincha time to read the Megillah, or it's not Megillah, to read the Haggadah, at least part of it, until after Dayenu. Also, in many communities, there is a time-honored tradition that the Rav gives some kind of a shir or lecture revising the halachas, or going into a aspect of Pesach and perhaps clarifying some information, some details, and that's beautiful. That's certainly the way to spend this Shabbos. And Shabbos Kodesh ends tomorrow night at 6:41, and then we have the last 4 day run until, please God, Wednesday night. Seder night is on Wednesday, and we get into the beautiful, beautiful Chag of Shavuot. So let's talk a little bit about chametz. You know, the Torah says that you have to remove all leaven, all chametz from your homes. And Chazal explained that this creates a mitzvah to ensure no chametz remains in one's possession by Pesach. The Gemara says in Pesachim that this includes two things. Number one, a physical removal of the chametz, and two, a nullification, a bittul in one's heart. Now, first of all, part one is actually searching for chametz, lest there might be some in your house. And that is done on the night of the 14th of Nisan, which this year will be on Tuesday night. And that's the Gemara at the very, very beginning, on the very first Mishnah of Pesachim, that the night of the 14th we search for the chametz. So the search is done by candlelight or some other kind of focused light today. And the reason is that candlelight is effective for checking all the cracks and crevices. Now, what has to be checked? Any place where chametz might have been brought. No places where chametz was never taken require chametz. Obviously, if you have children around, well, then there's no such place as a place that could not possibly contain a chametz. That before we search, we make a bracha, baruch atah Hashem, lekein macham, asher kidushon mitzvot v'tzvanu, al bi'ur chametz, which means for the destruction of chametz. Even though this is a search, the bracha refers to destruction, says the Shulchan Aruch. Right? After the search, we do bitul chametz. We declare kol chamira v'chamira, any kind of leaven, deloy chazite, that I have not seen, udeloy biyate, and have not yet put aside for destruction, livatel, it should be considered annulled, v'lahavre ka'afra da'ara, it should be like the dust of the earth, have no value at all. This is a nullification of any unknown chametz. Obviously, we don't want to nullify all our chametz because we still have chametz. We might want to eat for supper that night or breakfast the next morning. So we only nullify the chametz that we don't know about. Now, step three is then burning, destroying whatever chametz one might have found, and that takes place in the morning of the 14th of Nisan, right? And it's actually done before the latest time, the deadline for destroying of chametz. Was it the halachic sort of cutoff time for destroying chametz? Now, how's that done? So, preferably, it's done by burning the chametz, right? Or other methods. Gemara says one could sort of crumbing it and throwing it into the wind or into the sea. Now we know there are two prohibitions of chametz, right? So by midday on Erev Pesach, so the chametz may not be seen in your possession, bal yera'eh, and chametz may not be found in your possession, bal yematzeh. Okay, we're going to stop now and take a bit of break, and then we'll come back and conclude our discussion. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul, and this is the greatest Jewish radio station in all of Africa.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. We are back on your radio air, Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Tav. Last few minutes, we're discussing the laws of searching and destroying chametz. So we said there are two things that have to happen by midday on Erev Pesach. Chametz may not be seen in your possession, right? And we said it may not be found in your possession. Now, this is actually crucial because bedika, searching, removes sort of physical chametz, and bittul, nullification, so it handles anything you missed. Now, Tosfos explains, bittul alone works on a Torah level. But Chazal, our rabbis, required bedika to prevent accidental eating of chametz. Practical application. So, what kind of things you have to check? Your homes, your cars, your offices. If you use during the year, you don't have to check places never used for food. Sort of custom, right? The custom is to place 10 pieces of chametz around. It's not required by the Gemara, but it's a later kind of minig. And after doing the burning, so we say a second bittul, and this time it includes not only chametz we didn't know about, didn't see, but even chametz we do know about, right? And the process has sort of three layers. Search carefully, which is a human kind of responsibility. Destroy physically, right, which is action in our world. And nullify intensely. In other words, a mental sort of detachment from the chametz. And this reflects what the Gemara in Pesachim builds, not just removing chametz physically, but actually removing its importance from our minds. So we have lots to do this coming week, searching out the chametz, getting rid of it, preparing our homes for Pesach, getting ready for the Seder. So much to do, but it's such beautiful work. It's work of love. It's work of a mitzvah. And rather than feeling bitter or upset or grouchy about it, let's take it and use it in absolutely a best way to do whatever we can to make this the most beautiful chag we've ever had to experience. So I'm just going to take this opportunity because I'm not going to see you again before Pesach. Next Friday is Yom Tov, to wish all of you, first of all, a very relaxed, a sane next few days. Keep your heads on. Everything is going to happen. As my mother, God bless her, always said, on the night of Seder, everyone sits down to the Seder. So we all, so to speak, we all get there. There's no reason to be absolutely panicked. And when it comes, have an amazing, amazing chag. Enjoy the Seder and make it something that's really meaningful for yourselves and your children. And please God, to each and every one of you, a good Shabbos and a Chag Kasher V'Sameach.